Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're recording this episode a few days early because by the time it plays on KPCG and is converted into a podcast, we will be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. That's on Monday, September 30th. This is a really exciting time of year for members of the Philadelphia Church of God as we are preparing urgently and we're really excited to keep a number of fall holy days, actually. The Feast of Trumpets is just the first one. Then on October 9th, we'll be keeping the Day of Atonement. October 14th through 20th, we'll be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And then on October 21st will be the last great day. All four of these observances picture events yet in the future. These are events yet to be fulfilled, or days yet to be fulfilled by these events. The Trumpets Holy Day is the pivotal holy day in God's master plan. This is the very next event of God's master plan yet to take place, as pictured by these holy days. This is the day that pictures the return of Jesus Christ. Christ's return will take place after 6,000 years of human failure. Humans going the way of Satan, trying to start their own governments and systems of education, their own societies, their own communities, their own families, their own nations, and it just hasn't worked out. That's why this world is in turmoil today. God has waited for all this time, and very soon Christ is going to return to fix all of the problems that we have created for ourselves. The next day, the Day of Atonement that we will be observing very soon, pictures Satan being toppled from off earth's throne. This is a day where we really do rejoice because finally the one evil spirit being who has been afflicting all mankind will be removed. Right now he is the god of this world and he is destroying lives left and right. Very soon that will be stopped. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the 1,000-year world tomorrow. This is the rebuilding of Earth after mankind has basically destroyed it in World War III. God's government will be at the pinnacle of this. They will be at the head of this rebuilding project, building all of the earth God's way. Not man's way, not Satan's way, not anyone else's way, just God's way. We will not be enacting our own ideas, our own carnal projects. We will be obeying what God says. And for 1,000 years, the earth will blossom because of that. And then finally, the last great day pictures every person who has ever lived and died being resurrected. And all of them, even if they have never heard the name Jesus Christ their entire lives, will have a chance to finally hear the truth and obey God. So this is a really exciting time of year for God's people as we observe these holy days and strengthen our vision of the future. And maybe you've noticed from my description here that it really is all about giving. It's all about serving. Now, those who have been called out of the world today and have been converted before Christ's return will have a chance to take on a lot of authority and power when Christ returns. This is something that we have to have the right understanding about. It's easy a lot of the time to think of power as something where we get to tell other people what to do. We get to be in charge. Everyone has to do whatever we tell them. We can yell at them. We can do whatever we want and get away with it. That is often how power is depicted in the world. And yet that's completely wrong. That's not the right thought about power. Now, power in the future will be certainly applied decisively at times. Authority will be used for correction when necessary, but we have to understand it the right way. We have to understand how authority in the future will be all about give. That's quite a contrast from the type of power we see in society today. The type of authority that is exerted by leaders in this world, where they're willing to say anything they can to gain power. They will lie a million times if necessary. They will destroy their opponents just to take more power and to gain more influence. That is really probably the way that most people view power because of those wrong examples. But today, if you get to be a part of God's work, if you get to serve in this work and support this work in a number of ways, especially through prayer, you have the chance to learn about the proper form of government. You get the chance to learn how it's all about give. And that's really what we're learning through these fall holy days coming up very soon. And like I said, the first of those will be the very same day that this program plays on the radio. We literally take days off from work and school and from our other responsibilities to go to church services, to hear messages that get our minds focused on that future. We are really in intensive training right now, preparing for those events to be fulfilled and preparing to have authority when those events are fulfilled. We will have a crucial part to play in all of these events that take place. As God really does overhaul this wrong system, this wrong society, and completely replace it with a much better society, as he goes from just several thousand people converted today to billions of people learning about his way of life and being converted very soon. Everyone will have a chance to obey God. But really, there's that word again. It's always about obedience. It's a very controversial word to a lot of people. And yet, if you have ever put that into practice, you know what a joyous way it is. Leadership, the right kind of leadership, is all about service. That's what we'll be learning all about during these fall holy days. Again, the world has false ideas about authority, and the world has suffered so many times because of abuses of authority. But just think about when Jesus Christ returns. At first, he'll have to shut down rebellion. Obviously, a lot of people will not be happy that he is there to replace their systems of government. He'll have to stop them from rebelling against him. But on the positive side of that, in a way, they'll actually be forced to be happy for the first time. They'll actually, by losing in a battle to Christ, be forced to be happy. That's quite the paradox, and yet that is really how it's going to happen. Christ literally told his disciples to forget about all of their misconceptions about government. They got into the bad habit of bickering amongst themselves about who is going to be most powerful among them. They really thought, well, whenever I get power, I'll get to tell people what to do. I will really have a lot of influence. I'll be popular among a lot of people. And they even started arguing amongst themselves who would be greatest in God's kingdom. And Christ had to tell them, well, you have to be like a little child. You have to be humble. You have to be teachable. You have to be childlike. You have to be willing to obey. After all, even as God beings in the future, we will not be supreme in authority. God and Christ will always be above us. We'll always be obeying somebody for all eternity, even when we are converted into spirit beings. It will always be authority within a specific government structure. There have been some pretty nice examples of government in history, though rare. One of them is the United States, at least at its founding. And then a while after that, about 100 years later, Abraham Lincoln said in his 1863 Gettysburg Address that the United States government was supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. So in a way, that's a good thing. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. Mainly that it's for the people. But in the future, government will not be run by its subjects. It will be a government from the top down. The leaders will not be chosen of the people, because the leaders will all be spirit beings. They will all be born sons of God. It will not be a government by the people, because the spirit beings will not be elected. They won't have a chance to be voted out of office by the people they are serving. But it will certainly be a government for the people, a government that has the best interests of the people in mind. It will not be a democracy. It will not be a human monarchy, at least. It will be a spiritual monarchy, if you look at it that way. It will be God in charge and the rest of us in various positions under him. Here's what it says in Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this is talking about government and peace eternally expanding. As the government goes out and reforms and transforms the entire world, peace will accompany that. The government will instill peace. That is proper government. This is not government that is constantly overseeing abuses of power. This is not a government that oppresses anybody. This is a government that makes people happy. This is the type of government structure that we already see in place in God's church. And really, out of all the people on earth, only those in God's church understand the truth about government. Only the people in God's church are using that proper structure today. God actually restored the doctrine of God's government through the late theologian and educator and founder of the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong taught all about government. He taught about how God's government is a government of law and love. It is one man rule, but all of that government structure depends totally on God and Christ. It's not human beings ruling for their own gain or even ruling the way they think is best. Because as humans, we often think so differently from God. We really will be ruling in a way that God tells us is best. And right now, especially during this fall holy day season, members of God's church are training for those future leadership positions. Again, it's all about love, and it's also all about family. This is a family government where God is the Father, Christ is the firstborn Son, and the rest of us have a chance to be sons. Those who make a commitment to God before Christ returns can be those firstborn sons, marrying Christ, being Christ's bride. And everyone else who comes to God after Christ's return also has a chance to be a son of God. All human beings will have that opportunity to be a part of this family. It's not just a cold, hard government. It is a family. We are becoming gods. A lot of people say that's blasphemous, and yet God's master plan makes it plain that it's just simply the future. That's what the future holds for us. It is about family. And of course, when family is done right, it really is about love. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So those of us in the church today, we consider each other brothers and sisters, and we would do anything to help each other. And we consider each other very close friends. But what about the love of God, where Christ even laid down his life, not just for friends, but for people who scoffed at him, who scorned him, who denied him, people who ended up murdering him when he never did anything wrong his entire physical life? That's a type of love that we can't even hardly comprehend. If you are ever even mistreated in the slightest way by somebody else in everyday life, isn't it just natural to lash out in anger or to at least hold a grudge for a little bit as long as they don't apologize to you? That's sort of the human response. We certainly are not thinking of how we would be willing to die for somebody who mistreats us. Not naturally, of course. But that's the type of government we're talking about, where God would literally sacrifice his own son for all human beings. And I say this all the time on the radio, but millions of them today don't even believe that God exists. They think that is a fairy tale. But God even gave his own son for those people too, for the people committing the most heinous crimes and sins today. God gave his own son. That's the type of government we picture and focus on during these fall holy days. Again, these holy days picture the complete overhaul of human society, because there is no love in this world. There is no giving. There is no service. The only place you can find it for real, to the greatest depth, is in God's work. That's where all the love is. That's where you see family tenderness and love as a way of thinking, as a way of life. You can let God's love dominate your life. You can let God's love bloom in your life, your character, in your family, in your job, at school, in all of your personal responsibilities, in your church congregation, in your community. You can let love be your guide word. That's what we focus on during these fall holy days. That's what we can focus on every day as we prepare for the fulfillment of these holy days. It is a family government that is willing to sacrifice everything for the good of its subjects. It's a perfect government with the subjects held in the highest regard and deeply valued on an individual level. Romans 12, verse 10 says that we are to prefer one another. So first, in our priorities should come God. But also, what about our family members and our friends? What about all the people being reached by God's warning message of hope? We should prefer all of those people above ourselves. We should put other people, the needs of others, ahead of ourselves. And we try to practice that every day. We're imperfect humans. There's a lot of growth to be had in these areas. And yet, what a different way of life. It is noticeable. Other people can tell that we're living differently, because you don't find that kind of unselfishness out in the world. And it really is a type of love that extends out to anybody. It doesn't matter what type of social class you're in, or how much money you have, or what your job might be, or your background, or your religion, or your race, or your gender. None of that matters. The love goes out to everybody. That's what God's work is doing for people right now. It is trumpet blasting a message of love. Love for everybody. How much does the world need love? If there was any love, there really wouldn't be any war. Now, usually, people who say things like that are considered hippies because they don't have any solutions. But we're talking about real solutions here, where there is a government that actually will stop all war in the future. And it will be done with power, with authority, with a rod of iron at first, until people wake up and realize that that government is really going to bring them happiness. And it's the only way to happiness. We've tried and failed for 6,000 years. We can't find any love, any peace, any joy, any fulfillment on our own. That's why God's government needs to take control. And that's what we look forward to in these fall holy days and year-round when we're preparing for our job when these events come to pass. So today we've just been talking about the fall holy day season and about the love and the service that really is wrapped up in all of those days. These are days we're really excited to observe and celebrate very soon. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.